Yes, today's edition is long. That's because we have kind of a regular podcast. Nebraska may be flipping, Dylan Raiola, transfer news, different stuff. Actual college football news. Then we do the first half of Bowl Bonanza. It just goes off the rails, completely off the rails. All our picks are bad, even when we disagree with each other. That's why it's long. Deal with it.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Day drinking at the dive bar on Monday. Oh, it doesn't seem so bad when there's a game on, right? No, I'm not just at a bar at 2:30. I'm watching a game.
Russ Dellinger.
We're now seeing Nebraska, Miami, Texas A&M. I mean, maybe these places aren't winning yet on the field as consistently as you might think, but they are getting the recruits, that's for sure.
And SI's Pat Forte.
Secondly, I would like to nominate John Steinbrecher for sainthood. For actually just for common sensehood.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. We're going to get to the Bowl Bonanza early games in a little bit. We'll make our comments then.
They need to know. The public needs to know our thoughts on the Cure Bowl, and they're going to get
them. I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure most of the players know that they're in a bowl. The only people who care about bowls anymore are degenerate gamblers, which are fine, TV execs, real diehard fans will just watch anything. The people who make their money on the bowls, mm-hmm. which is mostly ESPN, and the conference commissioners. Everyone else doesn't care.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
We must protect the bowl industry.
And even the conference commissioners are getting a little, well, you know, yeah. only care about a certain number of bowls, it seems like.
Yeah, only days. Certain ones that comply them with golf outings and stuff. I don't know. Anyway, the big issue, as we always talk about this time of year, is it's chaotic. They do not space out the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
NFL is great at having it a year-round sport because it's like this is game season and then there's coach carousel, but in playoffs that kind of overlaps, but then there's free agency, then there's, we got it all at once. Signing day is next Wednesday, the 20th.
Yeah.
Early signing day.
Don't remind
Transfer
me.
Portal is flying.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches are bailing and coming and going. We got the bowls. We got a lot going on. And we got an old fashioned kind of stuff that those of us who really love college football through the years and loved signing day when it's back in February. We got a good old fashioned potential flip. The best were when they would line up ready to do their little signing for one school and then throw the hat away and put on the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Like a double cross. That's what I liked. But Dylan Raiola, who we've discussed many times on here, is the number one rated quarterback in the country, class of 2024. He is the son of Dominic Raiola, who was a great center, offensive lineman, but a great center at the University of Nebraska and later in the NFL. He was once committed to Ohio State, then committed to Georgia. They actually moved to Buford, Georgia to play their senior year, which was interesting because Buford, Georgia is like, by Georgia fans, it's like the one high school in the state that doesn't just bow to the dogs. But they thought he would go in there and kind of flip him, make it a Georgia school. Not so fast. It now appears that he is on the verge of flipping to Nebraska, which kept coming in second in their recruitment, but was more the sentimental favorite, sort of like carve your own path, follow your dad. His uncle, Donovan, is up there as an offensive line coach, I think. The family ties to Nebraska. Go to Nebraska. Be your own thing. Some of us that kind of like seeing that instead of just being another stockpiled Georgia. Nothing against the Georgia program. It's my kid, I'd probably send him to Georgia, but it's not. I'm looking for narratives. Looking for content. Not what's best for Dominic. For Dylan. I'm sorry. But now it appears he is going to flip. The 24/7 guys have switched their crystal balls. Always exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Crystal ball update.
Yes.
Yeah.
When that hits the message boards, whoa.
Mm-mm, that is it, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Is it Steve Wiltfong, very respected guy, you know, the announcer. I have switched my crystal ball. And like, oh, my God. Like election night, right?
Exactly. Click, click, we have click, a projection. Click, click. We have
the decision desk has declared Ohio will. Yes. So the Raiolas have not said anything. Now, this is the thing about modern. You could sit there and start a rumor 20 years ago and be like, hey, I think he's wobbling. He might go. There would be no way really for the guy to get it out. Now, these kids, everyone knows the Raiolas are not, they're very, not dumb people. And the social media come out and go, no, no, no. Because you've seen this kid's transferring. No, I'm not. Right. He just tweets it out. So what are you talking about? News to me. All that. So there's been no statement. So it appears that this could happen. That Nebraska could get the number one quarterback in the country for the class of 2024. It also appears that Nebraska has got a great chance of getting Kyle McCord, the Ohio State quarterback, who will transfer and have 1 year. And I don't know if he can get two if he then goes grad or not. I'm still a little confused on all. We're going to talk transfer rules with Ross in a minute. But you could still get Kyle McCord and have, because freshman QBs, it doesn't generally work out, and have Dylan Raiola take a year as the backup and the heir apparent, sort of the way we saw at Oklahoma this year with Jackson Arnold and Dylan Gabriel. And so you might get both. So in all of a sudden here, Nebraska, 7 consecutive losing seasons, haven't finished in the top 5 this century, haven't won a title since 97. I mean, they used to be the powerhouse. I'm not saying that one guy gets them back to that, but not a whole lot of life out of Lincoln. They just sort of float off like those balloons they release every game. Each season adrift in the wind. This is exciting.
Dan's getting metaphorical here. Metaphorical. Yeah.
The smell of a Runza meat pie. It's the the diesel from the tractor as the corn is cut. Where art thou? Where art thou, Tommy Frazier? Pat, save me. What's the hell's going on in Lincoln?
Yeah, let me cut yourself off there. No, it's super exciting for Nebraska. You know, the quarterback position has been a mess. They need help there. And they need it, you know, to probably win a big, big recruiting battle. And this would be one of the biggest in the country for this year. So I think this would really could potentially jumpstart the Matt Rhule era there. For Georgia, I don't think it's that necessarily that big a deal. Georgia's going to have players. That's always been the case. And quarterback, well, they've had some unbelievable quarterbacks come and go. The ones that they played with have been pretty darn good. So I don't think it's like mission critical for Georgia, whereas it's much more important for Nebraska here. And looks like it could happen. And, you know, it could, who knows? Well, I would obviously like to hear from Dylan Raiola whenever he decides wherever he's going. Maybe he didn't like moving from Arizona to Georgia and spending his, you know, fall semester down there and thought, you know what, I'm not really a Southern kid. Who knows? But, if you're Nebraska, this could be really big.
Yeah, I remember discussing over the summer when he visited Nebraska and had all those connections in Nebraska with the dad and the uncle. And there was a sense that he was going to go there. And then suddenly he committed to Georgia. And you wonder, you guys remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Matt Rhule came out, you know, and said publicly what many of us know privately is that, you know, quarterbacks in the portal and in high school quarterbacks too. I don't think he mentioned high school quarterbacks, but it costs $1.5-2 million annually in quote NIL payments. And you wonder if the Huskers found some loose change in the red cushions up there.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? It could be an old-fashioned bidding war, but again, we'll find out more as things develop. It's very interesting.
I mean, anything's possible. Everyone wants more money, but this is a family that has money.
Right.
I think Dominic Raiola played like a dozen years at least in the NFL. I don't know. But everyone wants more. Yeah, I think it would certainly be a jump start to Matt Rule's program, which was, I think, was frustrating this year in the way that Nebraska football is always frustrated. They kept losing the close games. They went 5-7, but Rule has done a great job in the past at other places. You don't have to wait necessarily. I mean, you know, to build up your program. The idea that they could grab McCord and Raiola in 1 week would make it one of the most significant deals going. And look,
yeah, that would be pretty spectacular.
Does he transfer?
If you secured your position in 2024 and secured your potential long-term quarterback in one fell swoop, that would be incredible.
Yeah, and they're going to bring other people. The value of Dylan Raiola is not only him on the field, but like he all of a sudden everybody goes, wait, Nebraska? Like, there's so many kids out, they don't know Nebraska was once good. It was so long ago. They don't remember any of that. They don't. I mean, how would you? Those are just grainy footage of guys. And so anything that attracts excitement to your program, you sit there and go, well, who cares about high school recruiting? Everyone transfers. And they kind of do, but you'd still rather get them than not. You certainly could see not everybody transfers. It would be a significant thing. It's also a time when Nebraska's got to, these guys in the Big Ten West have to get these kids.
Yes.
Like, they can't rely on everyone else sucking anymore.
Yeah. You got to score more than 9 points. It'd be nice. Yeah.
In the past, you had to beat out six other fairly underperforming teams.
Right.
And you could rack up a good win total, and you might be able to get to Indianapolis. The divisions are gone, and the league now has six programs above you.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State now are in your division too, and Oregon, Washington, and USC are all coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of why it didn't make sense for them to add teams that they weren't going to be able to beat. But if you don't get guys like this, you're fighting for seventh place overall in your league, because Oregon is
right.
Washington is, you know, USC. Yeah. Everyone else is recruiting, and no one else would go, oh my God, Dylan Raiola's thinking of going to Oregon. What? USC is thinking of going to USC. That's crazy. No. So you've got to get to the point where you have to win these battles, or you're never getting anywhere. The rest of this league is fighting for seventh, and they're still like, Nebraska's got some stuff going for them, but Iowa's always going to be pretty tough, and Wisconsin's got a lot of potential, and Michigan State's got a lot of, you know, and then it's just got to come up with something. So
that's I would like to see the Big Ten West, like, AD and coach Zoom call. We can't count on each other sucking anymore.
That's the theory. Yeah. That should be the motto. Leaders. Leaders and the best. Was it legends and leaders?
Legends and leaders. For the Big Ten East, getting rid of divisions is a positive. But for the Big Ten West, the divisions were very helpful, as we saw this year and so many years in the past, of a team being able to claim a division title and not be ranked in the top 15 nationally.
Or even going into a season knowing you're going to play six other Big Ten West teams, right? Do you play them all?
Yeah.
Play them all in your division, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you load up with three out of your four games are easy, your bye games, or two out of your three.
Two out of three, yep.
A pretty good shot at a winning season. Somehow none of them managed it this year. They don't have that. This is what you have to get if you're going to be in this super conference, which is what the Big Ten now is. You can't just sit there and go, oh, well, you know, we're just there. And
now, on a larger scale, quickly, I would say that I will be very interested to see the unintended consequences of the SEC and Big Ten adding really good schools. And, you know, what the loss totals look like and how people handle it.
Yeah. I don't know why these schools voted for that, but they did. Because there's more money. They're told more money.
More money.
Always wins. Mm-hmm. One last part on Dylan Raiola. It's not done yet. And message board geniuses, our favorite at Board Geniuses on Twitter. They scan all of the message boards for the most outrageous takes, perhaps real, perhaps joking. But Georgia fans not happy at the idea of losing the number one quarterback to Nebraska. Maybe there's some honor if he flips to Ohio State or something back to us. Laguna Dog, he's out in Laguna Beach or whatever. I don't know. He said, does anyone here work at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, which is the airport in Atlanta? Quote, it's been reported Raiola will visit Nebraska on Friday. I assume he'll take the 2:21 p.m. Delta flight, which is also the last flight of the day to the state. I guess that's going to Omaha or something. Therefore, if this flight gets canceled, he likely won't be able to make the trip and will stay committed to UGA. Here's the big point. Obviously, messing with commercial flights is a slippery slope.
You think?
Thank you, Laguna Dog. Obviously, messing with commercial flights is a slippery slope. So I'm not suggesting anyone does anything illegal. Just get that out there.
Yeah, but sure. Does
anyone here work for Delta? If some loyal UGA pilot or flight attendants call in sick at the last minute, the flight could be canceled and we could keep Raiola. Maybe someone working could hold the flight up for quote unquote maintenance issues. At the very least, he could quote lose his checked bag so he'd have to experience the Nebraska winter without a jacket.
Oh my goodness.
It just means more.
Clearly.
Gotta get
them croutes. Somebody's thinking too hard.
Gotta get them croutes.
Gotta do your part. Gotta do your part.
That's right.
Come on,
everybody,
Delta.
Pitch in. Yeah. Yes.
Two transfer items. Tyler Van Dyken talking about the Big Ten West. RIP. Had his moments at Miami, Florida. Also had other moments.
Yeah, very inconsistent.
He's headed to Wisconsin, where the transfer portal QB didn't work out last year. But they're trying to get that offense modernized, if you want to call it that, or play a different offense. Pretty significant get, though, for the Badgers.
Yeah, that's TBD, I would say. It could work. He could be the next Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, who spent several years at a school, came in, you know, looking like a savior, and by the end looked more like a broken QB. So maybe change of scenery really helps him. Now, literal change of scenery from Coral Gables to Madison, Wisconsin. Oh, my.
Speaking of grabbing a winter coat.
Yeah.
Come on.
I talked to Tanner Mordecai in August about going from Dallas to Madison. He said, man, that was a hard winter. And it's going to be harder, I think, for Tyler Van Dyke. Although Tyler Van Dyke is from, like, Connecticut. So it's not like he doesn't know what snow is. But still, all transfer quarterbacks TBD. And, the Mordecai experience really didn't work the way Wisconsin was hoping. We'll see about this one. Phil Longo's offense, probably second year there, will function a little more smoothly, but they've got a lot of work to do offensively in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Van Dyke was, he had that really great season a couple years ago, and then really struggled at times last year, and then this year it was more struggles mixed with what we saw a couple years ago, like bright spots. It was weird. And then he battled some injuries and stuff like that. And then his coach not taking a knee, as we all know, and all that good stuff. Sometimes we talked about this with transfer quarterbacks in the last pod. You know, sometimes the grass is greener, sometimes not. Sometimes a change of scenery is good for these guys. Look at Bo Nix, I think Auburn fans would be shocked to know that he would be a Heisman Trophy finalist a couple years ago. But sometimes this change does help. So maybe it does this time with Van Dyke.
How good can Riley Leonard be for Notre Dame? I know we're doing the same thing. That's official. Riley Leonard is heading to the Fighting Irish, giving CJ Carr a year to develop, much like we were talking about. Sam Hartman also had his moments that didn't. I I was overwhelmed by the handsomeness. Yeah. I don't know what Riley Leonard really looks like. I haven't noticed.
He's a nice-looking young man.
Okay. All right. Do they still have the best-looking coach quarterback combo in college football? Possibly. I don't know. I'll do my rankings later. Anyway, Pat, Riley Leonard era at South Bend.
I'm going to say same thing, TBD. I mean, I think he's a good player. I do. I think that this could work out quite well. I know there's NFL people who think highly of Leonard. He's athletic. He's tough. His numbers in 2022 were much better than his numbers in 2023 from a passing perspective. Part of that could be, you know, he did get injured and he tried to play through getting injured, but even before that, pretty pedestrian. I mean, he threw 3 touchdown passes this year. He missed like 5 games, but still, 3 touchdown passes in 7 games is not a overwhelming number. But again, he did play against Florida State and against Louisville. He was playing hurt. So I think it's got a chance to work out really well, but got to see it happen before I'm ready to say it's happening.
I went to his stats to check it out, I thought I was reading it wrong until Pat said the 3 touchdowns. Yeah, 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions this year. It seemed like he had a much better year than that, but I was probably thinking of last season. But I know that a lot of these games he did play hurt, and I think his last 3 starts, they lost Notre Dame, Florida State, and Louisville. Right. And then he was knocked out. You look at Notre Dame and what Marcus Freeman has built there. And it does seem to be a team that defensively, right, is going to be kind of perennial and one of the best in the nation. And it feels like all they need is this kind of missing piece to get over the hump. And I think we all thought they had that. Right, with last year with Sam Hartman, if they beat Ohio State, and they stop them right there on the goal line, maybe the whole season is different, and maybe they are that team. So who knows? Maybe this is what they need, and I think, you know, like Pat said, I think it does remain to be seen, because I think there probably are some unanswered questions about Riley Leonard when you look at his stats from this past season.
All right. The transfer portal. Oh, I want to do one more thing on this because it'll lead into I'm going to see what Ross has to say about this. He's got some info on the portal and how it might change. I forgot to mention this earlier. If Dylan Raiola commits to Nebraska, then the top 10 recruits in Rivals and 24/7, I think 24/7 as a composite, I don't know, the top 10 recruits will be committed to 10 different schools.
Wow. Mm. That is interesting.
Dan, guardrails.
Wonder where you might have heard that prediction. I actually didn't think they'd get to 10.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, right. This brings up a good point, and I love Stu Mandel, but the other day he tweeted something about how everybody thought that NIL was going to grow the gap between the elite blue bloods of college football. Like, and I know Dan like tweeted back at him, not everybody, because it's true. And I remember writing, and Pat might remember this. We may have double blindlined it at SI a year and a half or 2 years ago going into the season. After the first year of NIL, we wrote a story about how it's the second rung of programs, right, yes, that are excelling. It's the ones that have desperate, right, that are kind of like old perennial powers that have dropped off the last 20 years and have not won and have the resources and boosters who are desperate to get back to that level, and we're seeing that happen. We're seeing it at USC. We're now seeing it in Nebraska, Miami, Texas A&M. I mean, maybe these places aren't winning yet on the field as consistently as you might think, but they are getting the recruits. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is we've talked about on the pod. It is a great leveler, or can be. It gives more people a chance to, you know, change their trajectory. Hell, the University of Missouri went 10-2, and NIL was a significant part of that.
Yeah, they have like the number three recruit in the country.
Yeah, they got the number three recruit in the country.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah, they took advantage of that state law that I'm sure they helped. I'm sure the school had a little to do with the writing of that state law, because it's written really well. It's like the best written, most advantageous state NIL law there is.
At ADs, the complaining coaches, the whole establishment, Stu was correct about that. They were all whining, screaming, crying for guardrails, sky is falling, Alabama's going to sign everyone. Alabama used to sign everyone.
Right.
We said it on this podcast. I got so much heat for the columns, the podcast, the arguments. It's so much easier to scream sky is falling. The fans love that. It's the easiest way to generate ratings. It's why cable news will tell you the hurricane's about to hit. Could hit anywhere. Right? Why is the cable news ratings highest for the hurricane? Because you're going to die. Everything's you're going to die. That side's trying to screw you. This side doesn't matter. It's the same act. And we said, no, these schools will zero in on one guy that they have a chance with and tell them, you're our priority. We'll pay you more. We'll make you the focus. We'll give you a better opportunity and more money, because Alabama can't outbid us 25 straight times. Why be the eighth recruit at that school? Why be the 18th? Why be the 23rd? Be number one for us. And so Missouri, yeah, they go get a kid from outside of Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Williams Wanari, right?
Yep.
They got him. Texas Tech. Texas Tech is the number six recruit in the country. Per Rivals, Micah Hudson from Temple, Texas. They prioritized and they had a connection. Raiola. Yeah, he's not going to go to Nebraska, except his dad was one of the greatest players Nebraska's ever had.
Yeah.
And his uncle's up there.
Boise State just kept a guy that's run for 2,000 yards in his first two seasons because of NIL.
Yeah.
They ponied up, kept their guy, didn't kept him out of the portal.
You look at this list, and yeah, Auburn, I mean, Oklahoma, they're spreading the elite talent. It's Colorado's got one, A&M, Ole Miss. And this wasn't there was a 5-year thing. 10 is too small of a number. This number doesn't make sense, but there was an average of the top 10 for 5 years prior to NIL. During the top 10, they would sign with six schools on average. So that meant at least four of the players were doubling up or tripling up. They were all going to the same school. It's also a bit that everyone can pay now. Not everyone was.
Right.
And so there's that. There's the ability you're no longer blackmailed, and so you can switch.
Yeah.
Right. It's a positive. We told you. Guardrails, 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 consultants, wasted money, wasted time. I swear, if college athletic leaders would stop with the groupthink and start thinking a little bit or talking to people outside the little bubble, they wouldn't get themselves so far down the road in these bad ideas. You talk to economists, and they're like, well, yeah, salary is the differentiating factor in how companies try to acquire talent, right? It'll make a small difference. They didn't even think it would make a huge difference. They make a small one, or be even. It's actually making a pretty good difference, and I'm excited for it.
Good. Well, in 2.5 years in, you know, when you look at, I mean, look at the playoff right now, right? Look at the resurgence the last couple of years in Michigan. Look at Washington in the playoff, what Florida State did, you know, this year. You know, you've got new teams, kind of new blood in the mix for championships, I think, over the last couple of years, whether that's because of NIL or not, I don't know. And so I think a lot of people would say 2.5 years into the NIL era, everybody needs to kind of, and we talked about this a year and a half ago or so, like take a deep breath and wait till the market kind of plays out, that things will plateau and it'll settle and all this stuff. And so like Charlie Baker's proposal last week, I think part from some administrators, kind of their sense was, do we really need to do all this? You know, can we just like let it be? It's flattening out. Everything's good. Of course, the other side of this is, right, there has to be some kind of model change of athlete compensation, or you'll continue to get sued like the House case over and over again. So there has to be some kind of change. But it was just a sheer panic. And now it's like, you know, it's not that big a deal. It's starting to level off a little, like any new industry would.
All right, Ross, what is the latest on a proposal to the transfer portal and how they'd like to maybe clean it up a little? I don't know if that's necessary.
Yeah, but there's two things happening here. You know, we're taping this pod just a few minutes before a court case, a hearing actually unfolds in a West Virginia district court. So two things here. One is this court case. So seven states have sued the NCAA to eliminate the transfer rules, all transfer rules. So if they would win, any player can transfer as many times as they want and play immediately. It's just an open, completely open transfer. There's a hearing, like I said, as we're taping, this is about to start. While you're listening, this is probably over. And it's for a temporary restraining order to basically lift the restrictions on transfers temporarily right now, which is interesting. So that while that's going on, there's this other thing, and it's a proposal that some college leaders are discussing, which would eliminate the waiver process completely. We've seen all the waiver issues from this past fall. Tez Walker, right, comes to mind. But there are several of the cases. I mean, there are dozens of cases that ended up triggering attorney generals and school presidents and certainly coaches and lawyers speaking out and kind of chiding the waiver process. So there's John Steinbrecher, the MAC commissioner's plans to propose to the D1 council a concept to just completely abolish waivers. So an athlete would still be able to use the one-time transfer once, and you can play immediately. But beyond that, there would be no waiver process. And if you transferred, you would have to sit out. You know, you'd have to sit out a year for a second time or third time transfer. So, you know, the D1 council meets, I think in a few weeks, maybe it might be at the NCAA convention is probably the bigger meeting for the council. And so I'm assuming that this will be discussed. But certainly the first part of this is worth monitoring. And that's this court hearing right now going on.
All right. I would like the attorneys general to shut up and butt out and leave the association that people are voluntary members of to abide by its rules. That's my thought there. Secondly, I would like to nominate John Steinbrecher for sainthood. Actually, just for common sensehood. This just has driven me crazy for years. There should be no waivers, because that's what you do. You just open Pandora's box. You open up this massive gray area. You allow yourselves, the NCAA, to be painted as the heartless villain in every instance. This has driven me crazy forever. I'm trying to remember. I was either in NCAA headquarters in Indianapolis, or I was at the NCAA convention, and I was talking to a person who was in charge of the waiver subcommittee at that time, you know, that heard these transfer waivers. And I said, you know, you're going to do away with this, right? Because that's when they were first implementing the one-time free transfer. That was open to discussion. And so I said, so you do away with the waiver process, right? And he's like, no, we'd never do away with the waiver process. I said, you guys are crazy. You are inviting one headache after another. And I was like, well, fairness, we have to know. You know what's fair? One rule for one free time transfer, and then no more transfers without sitting out a year. That's what's fair.
That's what they should have. That was a perfect time to do that, too.
Yes.
When you implement the one time. And that's what John's point, I think, is, hey, we implemented this one-time transfer. Let's drop the waiver process. But they should have done that, whatever, 3 years ago.
Yeah, they're going to get hit with restraint of trade, and they're not going to be able to put anything on. I think they're going to lose. They're going to lose, and it's going to be unlimited transfers.
Yeah, probably. That's where we're headed for.
But again, because you like fight the wrong fight, you open things up.
Just so dumb.
I agree. Yeah. We've said it all the time. Why are you inviting yourself into this to be the Scrooge?
Yeah.
And that was the problem when they started with the uncle on dialysis, right?
Yes.
And everyone could find someone in their family. Oh, I was really close to her. Really close to her.
Right.
Yeah.
Uncle on dialysis, mental health. And I do not want to minimize mental health as a legitimate issue, but it became very gray area. And that became the wedge to open the door to transfer to wherever you want, whenever you
want. Well, yeah. And, you know, they tried to tighten the waiver process this past year. They went from, I think it was like basically 12 criteria, 12 that a player could meet to get a waiver. Now it's 4 criteria that a player could meet to get a waiver. You know, and this is like a unenviable task for this team of 12 people at the NCAA who are on like the waiver transfer waiver team. God bless them. Like, no, like who would want to do that? It's terrible.
Yeah.
And yeah, they each member is like assigned a case and then spends time trying to get documents and gather documents. And then they all, I mean, it's like, it's really a disaster. Now I will say when I proposed the whole non-waiver to a few people, they came back with, which I think is a legitimate argument. You know, one of the 4 criteria the NCAA has for granting, for being a waiver being granted, is something called exigent circumstances, which is kind of like criminal behavior. Like if you were the victim of a crime of some sort, like, you know, if it gets to that level, I'm sure that they believe that they need some kind of waiver process. I don't know. I don't know what you do about that, but that certainly was something raised to me.
I get that.
I
also would say, you know, hey, we're sorry and we support you and you can go work on your education and practice your skills in practice for that year you're sitting out, but you will sit out. That'd be my answer.
I think there's, these people on that committee, they're usually like, they're like the associate AD somewhere else. Like that's not even their job.
Right.
They volunteer for this thing.
Yeah.
Like, God bless these people. I'm with you, man.
I know. Yeah, that was the guy that was getting death threats over Tez Walker is like an assistant AD at James Madison.
Yeah.
He's got another job and is trying to, you know, it's like the amount of things the NCAA sets themselves up for to look stupid.
They don't get into this to be like, they don't get into it to be mean. You get into it to be, you're a nice person.
Yeah.
I'm a mean person. I wouldn't volunteer for anything.
Yeah,
mean people like me don't volunteer.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. We got to get to the bowl bonanza here.
Yeah, we do.
I don't know who's playing. I mean, I know the team.
This
I don't
is
know
where
what players.
Your picks usually excel. The less you know,
I
the
went
better
like,
you do.
Didn't I go like 30-4 once? Like I had an
you did not go 30-4.
38-1. No, I think I did. There are only 30 games. No, I had an epic year.
Yeah,
I had an epic year.
You were
I don't know,
just throwing darts at a wall.
These things are absurd. Nobody cares. The coaches quit. The players quit.
Yeah,
nobody cares. But they get great TV ratings. So here we are. I don't know how you could possibly bet these games, yet many of you degenerates will. The Myrtle Beach Bowl. Let's start right there. Myrtle Beach.
Yes. Yes.
We know what the Myrtle Beach promotion is. They're promoting Myrtle Beach. Great place to go. Bring your family. Mm-hmm. Games in Conway, not Myrtle Beach. But hey, who's counting? Of all the lies told in the bowl sponsorship, this is a minimum one. Georgia Southern 6-6, Ohio 9-3, Georgia Southern giving 3.5. We need to be quick because I don't think this pod needs to go on forever.
Mm.
Right.
Although if you want to listen to this crap, go ahead. We gave you the other stuff. Now, hey, it's all on. Maybe it goes on. I don't know.
Now we're going to give you winners.
We don't have a lot to say about these teams anyway. You know,
I mean, isn't all of Ohio's returning players in the portal? Like, if you're under, I mean, you're like, hey, man, I was a starter on a 9-3 team. I'm visiting Iowa State this week. I'm trying to get to a big, you know, power five. Pat, who's winning?
Yeah, they're playing on Coastal Carolina's teal turf. I know President Michael Benson is a pod listener there. So salute for having the game in your backyard. Why is a 6-6 Georgia Southern team that's lost its last four games going to win and cover? Because all of Ohio's team is in the portal. Starting quarterback, top two rushers. Georgia Southern wins and covers the 3.5.
Rourke, the quarterback, is in the portal?
He is.
Wow. Yeah. I guess if you're in the portal, you're probably not playing in the game, huh? We can assume that?
Well, that's the general assumption. There are some that say
some guys are in the portal and still play.
Yeah. I will say, shout out. Yeah. Yes.
Then there's guys that aren't even in the portal, and like Sam Hartman's just like, yeah, I don't, I'm done. I'm too handsome for a bad bowl game.
Real quick, I do want to give a shout out to Stucky from Action Network, works with Brett McMurphy, who did a painstaking job of running down who's playing and not playing for every bowl game. Incredible.
Golly.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't think they even know. I don't even believe the coaches know.
It might
and
be
who's
some
coaching?
Guesswork involved.
The entire coaching staff's in the portal. They're trying to get out of there. Everybody's in the portal. Go ahead.
Give me Georgia Southern. Same thing. Yeah, I'm not going with the portal Bobcats here. No. Give me Georgia Southern.
Sean?
I'll go with Ohio. Georgia Southern, not inspiring me right now. I don't need to give a reasoning either. It's bull bonanza time. So we're going to go with Ohio.
Maction, baby. I'm taking Ohio. The New Orleans Bowl. The New Orleans Bowl. Is that the R&L Carriers. R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Anyone know what R&L Carriers is?
Trucking.
Yeah, I think this is a long time.
Yeah.
Long time thing. Long time sponsor.
Yeah, yes, R&L Carriers, and they've been there for the long haul. No pun intended with New Orleans
it
Bowl.
Is. Yep. Trucking, air and ocean freight. They can do
Rich Rod.
They can do anything. Yep. Air charters, supply chain management, warehousing and fulfillment, reverse logistics. That's my life right there. I could use some help with reverse logistics. I have to reverse all my bad ideas. Ross, who's winning the game?
Rich Rod is. Jacksonville State and Rich Rod. Give me those guys to cover the 3.
Okay, 3 over Louisiana. Oh, it's a home game for Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get a huge crowd.
Yep.
Has any team been in a bowl more than Louisiana's been in the New Orleans Bowl?
Oh, boy. That's their second home.
I mean,
which is great for the fans, right? You know, I mean, just travel over to New Orleans there. But
shopping, have a little party.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going Jackson State to win and cover.
Jacksonville.
Here's your stat. Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State. Gamecocks are tied for 3rd nationally in takeaways. Raging Cajuns are tied for 107th in giveaways. Let Ball Security be your guide on this one.
I'll roll with the former FCS Jacksonville State. They're always a fun team to cover. I don't think that Louisiana has that strong of a program. So I'll go with the Gamecocks.
I'm taking Jacksonville State also. All right. Next game is the Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl. Avocados.
What? Come again?
Avocados from Mexico. Like, what's up with the avocados from America? What the hell?
Hey, and not only, look, the avocados are from Mexico, but the game's in Florida. Why don't you just play the game in Mexico City?
Come on. I want to stand up for the American avocado.
Yeah.
The hell, Mexico avocados. So special about you. They're probably
avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl.
Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl. The Cure Bowl is called the Cure Bowl to promote awareness and research of breast cancer. So that's good. I don't know how much awareness it raises, but maybe they raise a few bucks for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. So good for that.
That's good.
Avocados from Mexico. I don't know why we got to classify our avocados. A census form.
Mexico wants to.
Apparently their avocados are so great. I don't care. I'm going to go find an American avocado and make my own guacamole.
I'll take the best avocado. I don't care where it comes from.
That's right. Avocados without borders.
Kind of like car shopping. You know, it doesn't have to be an American car. If the Germans are making a better car, I'm buying it.
Stand on its own. It does kind of raise the thing. You're like, what, is Mexican avocados better? How come avocados from America doesn't have a thing? They don't even have a group.
Need stronger lobbying.
Maybe they do. They just can't afford a bowl sponsorship. Miami, Ohio at Appalachian State. And I don't know what the spread. See, I got to read this.
Six. App State is giving six.
Okay, six. Pick somebody, Pat.
Yeah, I'm picking App State. The Miami's had a great season. Their best season since Ben Roethlisberger was there. But their top quarterback is injured. Their backup quarterback's in the portal. The guy on top of the depth chart last threw a pass on September 10th, 2022. Go App State.
Yeah, same. App State.
Pat sold me. I'll go with App State.
I'll take App State. Young student assistant coach Mordock will lead the help lead App State to one. The Isleta New Mexico Bowl. The Isleta New Mexico Bowl, which is at least being played in New Mexico, Albuquerque. Anyone know what Isleta is?
Nah.
Anyone?
That bowl's had several sponsors. I'm just proud it's still around. Good job, Albuquerque, figuring out a way.
Hot air balloon. Anyone?
Yeah.
It is a resort and casino.
Oh, okay.
Boy, there was a time when they would break out in hives at this.
Yeah.
It's a having a
casino sponsor a football game. Oh God.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
The Isleta
Jim Delaney's getting the vapors even thinking about it.
15 miles south of Albuquerque, I believe. No, maybe not. That's not it. Well, it's somewhere in New Mexico. The Isleta Bowl. New Mexico State is playing. They are 3.5-point favorites over Fresno State, which fell apart late in the season. Ross?
Yeah. Fresno went on a complete slide. In Jared Kill's Aggies let me down in the conference championship game, but I'm going to pick them again here. Give me the Aggies, 3.5, cover the 3.5.
Yeah, I'm taking the Aggies as well. Jeff Tedford, the great coach of Florida State, or Fresno State star, has stepped away for the bowl game for health concerns. Hope he's okay. But I'm taking Serapi Power, the Aggies, to win and cover the 3.5.
I'm going to do something rare and give a program a second chance. New Mexico State hurt me when they lost to UMass this season. but I think... And I hope that they can take down Fresno in this matchup.
I'm taking Aggies, man. Those are my Aggies. Absolutely. Home. They'll be over at the casino after. Excellent. Excellent go of it. The Starco Brands L.A. Bowl. The Starco Brands L.A. Bowl. This was the one Jimmy Kimmel sponsored for a while.
Yeah, we actually had him as a guest on the pod.
He was a rare guest. We had Jimmy Kimmel came on to promote the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl. Starco Brands. Anyone? Can you name what this is?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Nobody. All right. Well, it's pretty interesting. A modern day invention factory. Starco Brands identifies white spaces across consumer product categories through our sister company, Starco or whatever. If it doesn't, Starco Brands only invents consumer products with behavior changing technologies that spark excitement in the everyday. If it's not truly new, if it doesn't change behaviors, then it doesn't spark enjoyment, then we won't make it. So some of the stuff that they are famous for, hand sanitizer spray, perfume, and my favorite, whip shots, the alcohol. Yes, they partnered with global artist Cardi B to bring the fun back to the alcohol whipped cream market.
Oh, my God.
Whip shots. Vodka-infused whipped cream. They have mocha. They got all sorts of... They got caramel, vanilla, because it just wasn't fun. The whipped cream, yeah. alcoholic-infused...
Nobody has fun drinking shots, so clearly drinking we needed whipped help cream. There.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is a nightmare if you happen to have teenagers.
Yeah, right. Welcome. Wait till that hits the campus where your daughter is.
I remember Whippets. I mean, that was bad. But now you can just drink whipped cream. All right. Actually, kind of interested. Cardi B. So there you go. I'm kind of in favor of this one. Innovative. Anyway, UCLA is playing Boise State. Games at SoFi Stadium. And... Boise is, I'm guessing, the favorite. No,
UCLA is giving 2.5, right?
Oh, I got four.
Okay, four.
Four. Make a pick. Right.
Make it four.
Who's up? Someone.
Bruins. Here's the problem. I am not a fan of this Bruins team. They haven't been very good. Their coordinators have departed. But Boise State does not have a quarterback playing in this game who has attempted a college pass. So when in doubt like that, I'm going with UCLA.
I didn't know that. Thanks, Pat. Glad you went first on that one.
It does help.
So in that,
only one done any research.
Yeah. So in that case,
I had to write
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking up alcohol. I'm looking, trying to order some mocha whipped cream right now.
So yeah, in that case, give me the Bruins as well.
I'm going to enjoy some nice sipping, whipping, whip, whatever it is.
Try that again, John.
Sipping whipping
season.
Cream.
Sean's had some whipping cream, it sounds like.
Sipping whipping cream.
I'll take Boise. Let's get some action going.
There we go.
I'll take a dog here.
Okay. I'm taking Boise too. They got the new coach there. They're fired up. They're way more motivated. UCLA is a listless ship. And believe me, those LA kids, you give them that whipped cream, vodka infused whipped cream, forget it. I mean, this has got to be the best bowl party we've had.
And Gronkowski's doing the game too, so that is going to be a fun game. I will
Gronk
say.
Is just you can just hear the whipped cream sound, drinking right out of the bottle. Yeah,
yep. Oh, it's gonna be on
100%. All right, Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. These are all Saturday. These games. Radiance Technology Independence Bowl. Anyone know what Radiance Technology is?
Nope.
Concepts to capabilities, my friends. Concepts to capabilities. Right? Applies cyber capabilities in novel and unique ways to support the intelligence community, armed services, research labs, and test ranges. Thank you for your service, Independence Bowl.
They spy on our enemies like Connor Stallions.
Connor Stallions with the flip. Are they the ones that made those glasses he may or may not have had on the sideline at Central Michigan?
The photography glasses.
Might be. Anyway, Cal versus Texas Tech. Texas Tech giving 2.5. Both 6-6. This field excitement here.
Mm-hmm.
Ross?
Give me the Red Raiders. Cover the 2.5. Don't ask me why.
Hey, it's Shreveport in December. We're praying for sleet.
Oh, that's right. Always sleets in Shreveport. I forgot this.
Yep.
This game has always got sleet.
Yeah. That's except for when it had snow with Texas A&M and Mississippi State.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Way back in the day. Snowball.
Yeah, like 20 plus years ago. I'm taking Cal. I'm not 100% sure why, but they did finish the season relatively well. So just give me the Bears.
I'll go with Texas Tech. And I liked Ross's logic. Don't ask me why. The Red Raiders.
Well, this is a big 12 ACC matchup. Texas Tech. I'm taking Texas Tech. 9:15 on Saturday night. Excellent. All right.
It's your late
Monday, nighter. December 18th at 2:30 in the afternoon, the Unemployment Bowl.
This is where bowl season gets fun. You start getting the random weekday afternoon games.
Yeah. Day drinking at the dive bar. it doesn't seem so bad when there's a game on, right?
Right. Yeah.
No, I'm not just at a bar at 2:30. I'm watching a game.
Go out for lunch from work and you look up and there's a guy, let's stay and watch this. Yeah, let's watch Western Kentucky play Old Dominion.
Now, yes, so this is Western and Old Dominion. This is the famous Toastery Bowl. Now, is this the Bahama Bowl used to be the Bahama Bowl?
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
It was the Bahamas Bowl. The Bahamas are fixing their stadium. And yeah, they got one. They only got one stadium, but they're fixing it. Fixing it up for future Bahama Bowls. So they had to move the Bahama Bowl to Charlotte, which is not the Bahamas. Fine community down there. Then they decided to give up on the charade of calling it the Bahama Bowl. So Famous Toastery became their sponsor. And we've already discussed this, but does anyone remember what Famous Toastery is?
Yeah, I've eaten at one. It's a restaurant.
Yeah, local breakfast joint.
Yep.
It's
good.
Yeah, breakfast, little small breakfast chain in the Carolinas kind of thing. So Famous Toastery bowl. And we've got I said, what we got? Western Kentucky, 7-5, Old Dominion, 6-6, ODU giving 2.5. Pat.
Yeah, I rated this 42nd out of 42 in terms of watchability. that might be me sulking over the lack of Bahamas shots, you know, the B-roll of the beach and the ocean and everything. So, Charlotte, sorry you don't have what the Bahamas has, but give me Old Dominion, Sun Belt, better conference than CUSA.
Full transparency, I'm listening to this this court hearing over the NCAA transfer policy while doing Bowl Bonanza. Nothing could be better, really, between these two things. One, a serious like debate over a NCAA policy, and the other, random teams and things like the Bahamas Bowl that's played in Charlotte. So, give me Western Kentucky. I'll take the Hilltoppers in this one.
I love this game. It feels like when you had a cool teacher that would roll the TV in for March Madness, so you got to watch some sports during the day.
There you go.
Very excited to watch it. This is a way higher watchability for me. I will go with Western Kentucky to cover.
I am taking Western Kentucky because they got that great mascot, Big Red.
Yeah.
Big Red Blob, is a great
one. Blob is a legend.
Yeah, that's all. It's all the insight I have. Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl, Tuesday at 9 p.m. Tuesday at 9 p.m., UTSA at against Marshall. The game is in Frisco, Texas, which is just, you know, just north of Dallas there. Scooter's Coffee, anyone? Anyone know what? I think it wouldn't be hard to figure that out, but
pretty obvious. And I want to say thank you to the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl people for sending me coffee and some swag, but I don't drink coffee, so I'll send it to a good home, though.
What? Why did I get the coffee? I drink coffee nonstop.
You're not nice to bulls.
Oh, that's right. Seems like they're all in they're all in Omaha.
Are they?
Are all the Frisco coffees in Omaha?
We got one. No, Scooter's Coffee. We got one here in Louisville, not like 2 minutes from my house.
Oh, Scooter's Coffee's everywhere. All right. Yeah. Some reason I looked up locations and they're all in Omaha. There's 14 of them in Omaha. Hmm. Dominating. All right. Scooter's Coffee. Yeah. Thanks for nothing. Who are you picking in the game? Who did I say was playing?
UTSA against Marshall.
13 against Marshall.
Who did I say is playing?
Fans is going great.
Yeah.
Great. I'm getting every other word from the court hearing, too. I'll take the Roadrunners for sure in this one over Marshall.
Yeah, give me that one. The Marshall quarterback's in the portal, and the backup is freshman Cole Pennington, who is the son of former Marshall great Chad Pennington. But Cole has thrown 0 touchdowns and 6 interceptions this season, so I'm thinking things are looking good for the Roadrunners.
I will take UTSA to cover the spread in the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl.
Blowout, UTSA. I'll take them also. I don't know. Thursday, December 21st. What happened on Wednesday? What are we doing?
Great question. You know what?
Wednesday, December. Nobody could start a bowl game. This is your opportunity.
I can't believe ESPN's giving us. You know what? Here's what that deal is. That's an NBA night on ESPN.
Doubleheader.
They don't need a bowl game. Yeah.
All right. Thursday. Guys will have to survive next Wednesday. Just listening to the pod. Sorry. Thursday the 21st, South Florida at Syracuse, playing Syracuse at the roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl in Boca Raton. Roofclaim.com, they've been around for a little while, but you want to take a gander, a guess?
They'll fix your roof for you. After
they will fix your roof. Hurricane. Yeah.
How about that?
Good job. Either in emergency or inspections or just general replacement. So, roofclaim.com. All right, what's happening in this game? What did I say? Syracuse is given 3.
Both teams 6-6, man. You got to love the 6-6 mania here. Give me Syracuse here. Two good kind of dual threat quarterbacks. USF defense 13th out of 14 in the AAC. So I'm taking the orange.
What bowl is this? What are we doing? What bowl?
Syracuse versus South Florida. Q's given 3.
Oh,
Boca Raton.
I don't even have that one on my list.
You need a roof? You got a.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Syracuse 3. No, give me South Florida. Give me South Florida in the pulling the upset there in Boca Raton.
All right, that's enough insight. You didn't even know the game was happening. Go back to you, Sean.
Go back to court TV.
Let's not. Don't pretend like you have
Alex
insight.
Alex Golish has got a good job with the Bulls, man. Got him to all a right. bowl game. Everybody's talking all about right. Dion, and they had a hell of a bounce back year.
Almost beat Alabama, kind of. All right, Sean.
I think these Syracuse players are going to be fired up to get out of Syracuse in the winter.
Hell yeah.
So I will take the orange to cover.
Oh, they're going to get fired up.
It's a huge win to go from Syracuse to Boca. Are you kidding me?
They're going to get drunk on the beach, sunburned, also they're dehydrated from the sun. South Florida, they're just cruising over. I take South Florida. All right. Oh, one of our favorites.
Yes.
The Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. It's over in Tampa. Georgia Tech, UCF, Union Home Mortgage. I think we can understand. You can get a home mortgage. Keeping it pretty simple. Spread is, what do we got here? Where is this one? Oh, 4.5. UCF giving 4.5. The Gasparilla is like this festival of pirates.
Yeah.
It's like a pirate festival in Tampa. They're still celebrating the pirates. That's the game. So who you got? Pat, keep going first because Ross is.
We've lost Ross almost.
Pretty much.
Yes, another 6-6 festival here, but it is our first matchup of power conference teams, if you want to get technical about it with UCF.
Technically, yeah.
I'm taking UCF to win and cover. Worst rushing defense in the ACC for Georgia Tech. They're going to get gouged.
Same. Yeah, give me Gus and the boys to cover the 4.5. It didn't matter. 4.5. Whatever.
John?
Yeah, I'll take UCF as well. Georgia Tech, not much faith there.
Same. All right. Take UCF. The 76 Birmingham Bowl. That's it. 76?
Yeah, that the gas station chain?
I don't know. I'm trying. Yes. I just Googled 76. They're like, it's a number between 75 and 77. No, it is a chain of gas stations.
Yeah. What better for the Birmingham Bowl? I mean, come on, it kind of fits.
The romance. The romance of getting to play in a gas station bowl. The coffee's been in the pot for a couple hours.
Hot dogs rolling on the roller. Yeah.
Wow, they really have quite a website. Yeah. Anyway, they also sponsor the Surfside Swish. There's the basketball net at these things. I don't know. Wow. I got to check out old 76.
See?
Anyway, 76, the gas station bowl is here. Troy against Duke. Riley Leonard need not apply. Troy is giving 7.5 to Duke.
Yeah. This is the interim bowl, right? We got two interim coaches here. A lot of tumult going on. Riley Leonard hadn't played the last three games anyway from injury, so I think that the spread is too big. I'm not sure Duke will win, but Duke will cover. This is going to be a low-scoring game, two defensive teams. Troy wins, Duke covers the 7.5.
No, I'm gonna go with Troy without Riley Leonard coach, even though it's interim at Troy. Troy's in the middle of a coaching search. Hopefully by this time they'll have a coach. But give me Troy actually to win this one in cover.
I'm gonna roll with Troy as well. They put together a really good year. I think Duke has moved on to basketball for the season, so the climate has changed a little bit there. Troy to cover.
I'm taking Duke. Too many good athletes on that team. I usually would pick Troy because they're going to be the motivated chance, but I actually like Duke in this. All right. Which one?
Camellia Bowl.
Camellia Bowl, but it's in. Yeah. Oh, Camellia Bowl. All right. Camellia Bowl at the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery. Montgomery Doc. Remember the Doc fight?
Yeah.
It's the most exciting thing to happen since that Doc brawl. That dude swam over.
Yeah.
Beat that jerk's ass. He was trying to park his boat in the wrong spot. They should. That guy should be the grand marshal of the Camellia Bowl. Camellia, anyone? What is it?
It's a flower, right?
Flower.
Yeah, yes. Camellia. Yeah, flower. I have a camellia tree in my yard in Louisiana. It blooms during the winter.
You guys get offended. I asked what like Union Home Mortgage was. You guys, of course. Roof. I mean, come on. It's the same thing. I'm getting offended like I don't know my horticulture.
Yeah, you need to learn to study up, man.
Botany. I didn't do very well in botany. Anyway, Arkansas State and Northern Illinois. People in Montgomery just must be jacked up for this thing. 6-6. Both teams. Arkansas State giving one. Saturday at noon on the 23rd.
Yeah. For some reason, I only rated this, or I rated this 38th out of 42. It probably should have been lower. 2 6-6 teams from Group of Five conferences. The Crampton Bowl is a cool little stadium, though. If you've ever wondered what happened to Butch Jones, you'll find out because he's coaching Arkansas State, and they finished the season well. So I'm taking the Red Wolves to cover in this one.
Give me Northern Illinois for really no reason other than whatever.
All right.
This is the do the dishes game. You don't need to watch it. You can hear it with your back to the TV while you're doing the dishes. I guess I'll pick Arkansas State.
I'll go Red Wolves on this. Four more.
All right,
four more.
We can get through this. I think the prosecution is now giving their testimony or whatever.
Is it a criminal case?
Yeah. Well, no, not prosecution. The plaintiff. Sorry.
There we go. Okay.
All right. Yes, it is criminal. Apparently, the NCAA.
They
said.
Throw Charlie
right?
Baker in jail for.
Yeah.
I mean, even right. I am not
transfer
that.
Policy?
These attorney generals, they'll make
Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl, Fort Worth, Texas. James Madison at Air Force or against Air Force. Keep reading it wrong. James Madison is giving 2.5. I think we all know what Lockheed Martin is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They help make the aircraft for the Air Force to bomb people.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go. Seems important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Go ahead, Ross.
Yeah.
Got a pick. Take it. Jump.
The Falcons were like, what were they, 7-0 at one point? And they really dropped
eight,
off.
Eight, no.
They lost their last four. Wow.
Fire.
But I think they put up a win here. They break the streak. JMU won't have their head coach. Obviously, he's off to Indiana. Kurt Cignetti. But they got a new coach, Bob Chesney, which that'll be interesting to watch what happens there. But give me Air Force to cover the 2.5.
Yeah, this is a weird game. It could actually be a good game. Both teams are pretty good. But Air Force really slid at the end. Here's the problem for Air Force. They run the ball, period, right? Who's the number one rushing defense in the country? James Madison. So James Madison wins, holds Air Force to a low-scoring total, and covers rather easily.
I will go with JMU. They are fired up. Their fans are so excited for the bowl game. I think it matters to them. So I will go with the Dukes. And I think they got some good momentum. They brought in Bob Chesney's from Holy Cross. They're rolling a little bit. I'll go with JMU.
Me too. JMU. I like it. All right. The 68 Ventures Bowl, not the 76 Birmingham Bowl, which is played in Birmingham, but the 68 Ventures Bowl, which is played in Mobile. Battle of the numbered bowls. Anyone know what 68 Ventures is?
That one I do not know. No idea.
We offer real estate services to deliver results for clients, customers, and partners. Our bold vision and drive are transforming the Gulf Coast. I think everyone I've read has used the word bold.
A lot of boldness out there.
A lot of bold everywhere. The game features South Alabama. So they're kind of at home there against Eastern Michigan. And Eastern is South Alabama is a 16-point favorite.
Wow.
Both teams are 6-6. No respect on the EMU Eagles.
What a big spread. I think South Alabama wins, but Eastern Michigan covers.
I'm with you. The spread is weird. I do not get that. You look at a lot of stuff and try to figure that out, especially like South Alabama's leading receiver is in the portal and their star running back opted out. So, like, I just don't get the spread. So I think South Alabama will win, but I think EMU will cover the number.
16 is too big for a bowl. Even if South Alabama goes up 21-0, I'm still pretty confident Eastern Michigan crawls back. So I'll go with Eastern Michigan as well.
Same. Eagles smaction. SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl. SRS Distribution seems pretty simple. Anyone? Fastest growing network of independent roofing and building supply distributors in the United States. You should talk to roofclaim.com.
You know what? Yeah, if your roofing convention in Vegas, I would bet, is probably pretty wild.
The bowl industry can get you. I bet those roofers get after it.
Yeah. I bet they do.
That's certain.
A good point. You get invited to the roofing convention, go. Definitely go. I think so. We can get you the material, and then we can get Roof Claim to build it. We got your roofs covered.
Yeah.
Absolute covered. Las Vegas Bowl is, there it is. Utah, Northwestern. Utah versus Northwestern, and the spread is, why is this not coming up? Oh, I got
spread is Utah here. By 7 is what I have. I don't know what
Okay, that works. I don't, somehow this isn't on my list. Oh, there it is. 6.5 Utah I got. So let's go with 6.5. You got, Pat?
Give me Utah. My abiding strategy for this bowl bonanza will be 5 words. Fade the Big Ten West. I do not like anyone in the Big Ten West, so I am taking Utah to cover 6.5.
Same. Yeah. Give me the Utes.
Northwestern's a great story this season, but Utah is the better team. Utah covers 6.5.
Yeah, deeper program. Whatever, they'll be able to handle whatever defections they have better, all of that. I'm taking Utah. All right, final one. Easy.
Wait. You skipped the Potato Bowl.
Oh, wait. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. How did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think we all know what the famous Idaho Potato is all about.
We
Georgia
do.
State, Utah State in Boise on the blue. Utah State giving 1, both 6-6. Quickly, spare our people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to put the people through just a little bit more.
Okay.
Utah's, they're the Aggies, but their mascot has always been a bull. They used to have a live bull that they would paint blue before every home game. And that included basketball games, and he was scuffing the floor, so they tried putting red boots on the bull. As the school's website itself puts it, this was a disaster.
Yeah.
Anyway, they no longer have a live bull, but they do have a slightly better more team you than know. Georgia State.
I mean,
there you go.
The more you know from Pat 40 about the Utah State bull in his boots.
There you go.
Wow. All right. Screw it. Screw
Utah
the bull.
State
give me
covers.
Georgia. Give me Georgia State.
All right, I'm taking
okay.
Utah.
Oh, we got a split. This is exciting.
Yeah. Gosh, we should have skipped this one. I don't know if I'm going to be tuning in. You know what?
Got to make a pick, Sean. You got to make a pick.
If you're a school that has the courage to go up to a bull and decide to paint it blue, I got to side with you. I'll go with Utah State.
There you go.
I mean, I'd make fun of Pat, but I picked Western Kentucky because of their mascot.
See?
Utah State, local. They're used to playing at altitude. I don't know. So I got nothing. All right, final one. Easy Post Hawaii Bowl. Anyone on the Easy Post know what an Easy Post is?
A blog?
Post-it notes? Know.
It's like aggregating news. The aggregators, Easy Post. Right. No. Save time with simple shipping. Easy Post Create Label tool is powered. They didn't use boldly. Boldly powered by our shipping API, the most powerful shipping solution on the market. He's powered and powerful in the exact same sentence. Come on, people. Come on, Easy Post. It's very powerful. Game is Coastal. President Benson going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
San Jose State. And the game is, what do we got here? 10 points. San Jose State is a 10-point favorite.
Huge spread. Give me the Chanticleers to cover the spread in Hawaii. Peace out. I'm headed to the court hearing.
All right, bud.
uh, This is one of my favorite bowl games because it's like 10:30 p.m. on December 23rd. Everybody's gone to bed. You can have a little eggnog, watch a little football late at night, and it's in Hawaii. So I like that, all those things. But I do not like Coastal here with their top two quarterbacks, both in the portal. San Jose State finished the season well. Spartans win and cover the 10.
The San Jose State, much less travel, significantly less amount of travel than Coastal Carolina. I am taking San Jose State to cover. It logistically, it's much better for them.
Coastal, they'll still have the spirit of bleeding teal or pissing teal or whatever they came up with. I'm taking Coastal. All right, that is it. Thank you for bearing with us. We'll be back next week. We're going to have Bowl Bonanza Part 2. It's more teams we know a little bit about, but no one's playing in those either later. So this will take you through Christmas. And anyway, we'll be back next week with more regular scheduled podcasts. Continue to subscribe, share us on social media. We'll try to have fun. Talk to you later.